Should Harley reintroduce an entry-level bike? And I guess the Iron Series was the entry-level bike, and it also kind of depends on what you consider entry-level. I think there's a huge camp of people that thinks a $10,000 bike is not entry-level. But for a Harley, a $10,000 bike is pretty cheap. And I don't think that the Nightster is really bringing people into the brand. And I think maybe from a business standpoint, I'm not really a business guy. I don't claim to know what Harley should do in order for them to be successful. I want them to be successful because, you know, this is my livelihood. But, you know, a lot of Sportsters sold. There were a lot of Sportsters produced. And they weren't really a high margin bike by any means. But, you know, but an entry level bike isn't necessarily designed to be profitable, right? It's designed to bring people into the brand and to offer a unit that is a little bit easier to bite off. Like, the first bike you ever buy is probably not going to be a $30,000+ bike, right? Like, most people don't start out with a CVO, or most people don't start out with a full dresser, or most people don't even start out with a bagger, needless to say. So I think from a business perspective, it's probably a good idea for Harley to think about reintroducing an entry-level bike. I think that's probably a pretty good idea. I think we've slimmed down the models. You know, we used to have multiple, you know, five different models of Road Glide. We had the Road Glide Standard, the Road Glide Special, the ST, the Limited, and then there was a CVO and a CVO Limited. There were six different models of the Road Glide in recent times. So now that that's slimmed down, you know, we have three Road Glides now. We have the Road Glide Standard, we have the Road Glide CVO, and the Road Glide CVO ST. And I guess if you count the RR, but that's not going to be a normal production bike. And we'll talk about the RR later. Speaking of a not entry-level bike would be the RR. And I think for most of us, the entry-level bike doesn't really matter. It's not going to be something that we're in the market for guys my age and guys who are doing the type of riding that we're doing. It's probably not likely that this really affects us too much. But one thing that I do advocate is for more riders. The more riders on the road, the better it is for us, and the larger our community grows, and the more support we can give each other. And I think that's a good thing. I also think the used market does a really good job at somewhat of an entry-level gateway into Harley-Davidsons. You know, if you're looking at Harley-Davidsons and you're new to motorcycling, maybe you had kind of a starter bike, whether it's some sort of inexpensive bike or a hand-me-down or something that you were able to learn on, and now you want to get something that is a little bit more refined, a little bit higher quality, a lot of people are going to look at used models. And I think one problem with that is you can get analysis paralysis with the used bikes. If you haven't been following Harley over the years and you haven't really paid attention to what models are coming in and out of production and what changes were made over the years, for baggers, 14 and up is going to be, you know, the Rushmore one-touch bags, and then 17 and up on the touring is going to be M8s. And if you don't really keep track of all that stuff, it can kind of be very confusing to know what you should go with when you're buying a used bike. So I do think an entry-level bike does have its place in the market, especially the North American market. And we have these bikes in other parts of the world, like India has the X440, if you've never seen the X440, which is a smaller displacement, looks like a single cylinder bike. And I think geography can have a lot to do with it. Like, if you're on the island of Hawaii and the max speed on the Big Island is 55 miles an hour, do you really need a 131 engine? No, maybe you don't. Depending on where you live in the country, you might only have open road. You might live out in the country. You might not have a dealership anywhere near you. Or you might live in an urban area like me. Like, I live in the suburbs outside of Los Angeles County, and I can't go anywhere without getting on at least two freeways. Like, I go 14.6 miles to work, and it's two freeways. I go visit my buddies, it's three freeways. And it's to the point where I use my GPS all the time, not because I don't know where I'm going, but because it updates traffic for me, and traffic is such a large factor of traveling and commuting in my area. So if Harley does reintroduce some sort of entry-level bike, is it something like the X440? Are they bringing back the air-cooled Evo Sportster? I would like to see some sort of traditional V-twin air-cooled motor. And technology has come really, really far. Like, now we're seeing the Street Bob, a $16,000 bike, come standard with ABS, traction control, and cruise control. So as technology moves forward, if you're my age, think about how big screens looked and costed when we were young. And they were these big, huge tube TVs, and it was a whole stand. It was this whole huge thing that took up a lot of space in whatever room that you put it in. And now, you know, like, you can buy a 70-inch 4K, 8K TV off of Amazon for $400. So unless you're in the medical field, technology gets cheaper. And as this technology gets cheaper, we're able to see more features come inside of a bike. And I think this is where the community kind of separates itself. It's like, okay, well, how much should it cost and what kind of feature should it offer? I tend to disagree with people that want everything for nothing. Like they want, you know, they want it to be a $5,000 bike, but they want it to have all the features of a $50,000 bike. So in my opinion, it has to have enough of a price tag on it to be affordable. And I think there's a sweet spot somewhere in there where it's also not priced so low that it has no resale value whatsoever. Because if you are bringing someone into the brand and you earn their brand loyalty with an entry-level bike, then you're hoping that they're going to trade up and continue to be a customer of the brand, right? So if the bike is too cheap and it has zero resale value, zero trade value, then it's very difficult to argue that this bike is going to be a gateway bike into more Harley Davidsons. So I think there is a sweet spot with price. I don't presume to know what that is. I think the round figure is getting into a $10,000 Harley Davidson just kind of feels right, but I'm not really the target customer for that. So I don't think my opinion really matters on that too much. But if you got decent credit and you have a $10,000 bike and you can have a $200 payment, I think that's pretty acceptable to most people who are getting into the sport. And the reason that I would like for it to be air-cooled V-twin is because I think one of the reasons that the Nightster hasn't really taken off, at least in my demographic, it might have taken off in other places. And I know there's a lot of, you know, motorcycle influencers out there who are doing cool builds on Nightsters and stuff. I don't know if they're sponsored by the motor company and the motor company is trying to push this stuff, but it doesn't feel like there's an organic interest in the Nightster itself. And I wonder how much of that has to do with the fact that it is a different engine design. It doesn't have that traditional air-cooled V-twin sound. And while I love the RevMax platform, you guys know how much I love the Panamerica. The biggest thing I tell people about the Panamerica is that it's probably the best bike that comes out of the factory. It's a $20,000 bike with 151 horsepower on a mid 500 pound bike, 569 pounds, 542 pounds for the ST. And the Special has 7.5 inches of electronic suspension travel. It has all the accoutrement that you could want. Even for that small little windshield, it does really well for wind protection. I've never met anybody who's buying the Panamerica and treats it like an M8 motor where they're like, oh man, I gotta put a cam in here, I gotta put an exhaust, and I gotta eke out as much power as I possibly can out of it. That's not the Panamerica. But where the Panamerica can fall short for a traditional customer is that it doesn't have that classic Harley appeal. It doesn't have that curb appeal, it doesn't have the rumble, it doesn't have the lope. So a lot of that, myself included, that's what I like out of a Harley Davidson. And as much as I love the Panamerica, I'm still going to pick my Road Glide first. I'm still going to pick my FXR first. So I think capitalizing on that signature feel, sound, aesthetic is going to be really important for an entry-level bike. Now, I don't see them bringing over a single-cylinder 440 into the U.S. market. I don't really see them reviving the Sportster Evo motor either. I think they would probably redesign something that maybe shares a little bit of commonalities with the old Evo Sportster motors. But I also know that Harley is not afraid of doing R&D. They're not afraid of developing something new. And I think that this is probably what it's going to take. I think that if you can start something in that $9,500 range and have another option that's $11,500 or $12,000, kind of like they had the 883 and the 1200, you had different options. They had, you know, the 48 for a time. They had the Roadster. They had a lot of different versions of the Sportster throughout the years. I think if you can come up with a good platform that has that traditional feel, it has a really good motor. Obviously, it's not going to have all of the features of some of the other bikes, like the big twins and how great the soft tails are, but it's still going to share some commonalities where it's going to have very similar hand controls. It's going to have the traditional spacing on the triple tree so you can put T-bars on it and things like that. And it's funny, a lot of people who come into the dealership and they don't know much about Harleys, they don't know much about bikes, and it's like, hey, I'm looking for this bike. And this happens quite a bit, and I see them pulling out their phone, and I know they're gonna scroll, they're gonna be like this, and they're gonna look, and then they're gonna click on a picture and they're gonna turn it around to me. And it's one of probably four things. It's a European built like Fat Boy or Breakout that's like super slammed and, you know, has the big 240 and has a really tight tolerance fit rear fender. Or it's something that's a little bit more modern, like a club style bike or a performance bagger. I see a lot of people show me a Vikla. So they're looking for some sort of platform to build this bike on, or they're curious to know if they come from the factory like that. And then the fourth thing is I'll see some crazy Sportster build, like somebody who turned a Sportster into a dirt bike, somebody who put knobby tires on it. There's all kinds of really cool sporty builds out there that even I've loved throughout the years. And I think if you don't have a background in riding and you're looking to get into motorcycling, one of the first things that draws you in is the aesthetic appeal and the community around that. So I'm really interested to see if Harley goes down this route, and if they do, what that bike is going to look like. I hope it's a gorgeous bike, and I know it's going to be smaller. I know it's going to be something that, you know, guys that ride baggers probably aren't going to be into, but I do see the value in ushering in the new generation of riders, no matter what age they're at. The only thing that I don't like about an entry-level bike is how much smaller they are, and it doesn't really welcome in the larger guys, you know. So if you have a big guy and, you know, everybody needs to learn how to ride a motorcycle, and they're just so uncomfortable on the bike because they dwarf the bike. But if you look at the Nightster and the Nightster Special, just go on Harley's website and look at the specs for the Nightster Special. Now, this bike is, what, under $13,000. And the amount of technology that's included on this bike is pretty impressive. So everything is Brembo for the braking system. It's got traction control, it's got cruise control, it's got a TFT display, it's got tons of power coming out of the motor. The only reason I would probably not get one is my frame's just a little bit too big for it. I've already got an FXR that's a smaller frame bike, and I don't really want another smaller frame bike. I think that's really the only downside to entry-level bikes, is that they're always so much smaller. And I understand that. Maybe this is my bias as a taller person. I'm not even that tall. I'm 6'1", but I can like dwarf some of these small bikes. A lot of these bikes are made for someone who is, you know, 5'8 to 5'10. And it's probably a good business idea to have a lower seat height, have a lighter weight bike so that it can usher in those new people. And maybe I'm doing a little bit of the thing where I want too much out of it, but I do feel bad for the big guys, because there's so many tall dudes that I've helped buy bikes and I've been like, hey man, like, can you sit on that bike, give me your phone, I'm gonna take a picture of it and I'm gonna show you what it is, because you might want to consider something bigger, just because you're gonna grow out of it so fast. And I'm happy to sell you two bikes within 6 months, but I think it'll be 6 months and you'll be ready to trade this thing in. That can be a hard pill to swallow if within 6 months you're on an entry-level bike and boom, you're ready to trade it in and buy something else. So I would like to see something that has a little bit higher ceiling than the 883s of old, because I felt like the 883s were very quick to grow out of, not necessarily because of their size, but because of the power or lack thereof, a little bit smaller motor, and you have the 5-speed transmission, you have a smaller fuel range. I think a lot of those things were fixed, quote unquote, in the Nightster and improved upon. So you have a little bit larger fuel capacity. You have a lot more features. The bike is a whole lot faster, 6-speed transmission and all that. So I would like to see if they could make some of those features fit into the budget of another entry-level bike that is an air-cooled V-twin traditional Harley. And one of the big reasons is because I see it a lot. I see a lot of people come in with their buddies where it's, you know, two guys, four guys are coming in and they're just checking out Harleys. They're looking at what's going to fit as my first bike. And on our ground floor is all brand new bikes. And there can be a lot of sticker shock when you walk in and you're like, hey, I'm going to buy a bike. And then, you know, you look at a Lowrider S and it's 20 grand. And then you're like, oh, well, okay, well, maybe I can find a used one. And then you go upstairs to the used section and there's all these models, all these different models from all these different years. And it can be analysis paralysis. It can be very difficult to say like, okay, well, I know exactly what I want. And you can have confidence as a buyer. I think that's one of the categories where a dedicated entry-level bike, a bike that the community agrees on, that, hey, this is a really good bike to get your feet wet, to get started with. You're not investing so much money like a $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 bike. But it still has enough features that you're not going to outgrow it in 4 to 6 months. And one of my favorite things about new bikes coming out is seeing what the community does with them and all the custom stuff that we're going to see on Instagram and build videos on YouTube and stuff like that. So if they do it, I'm very excited about that, because I know there's going to be guys out there who are killing it and making these bikes look beautiful and inspiring others to consider this model as something that they would want to ride. I hope Harley doesn't see this video, because they're going to be like, shut the fuck up, dude. We already know what we're doing. What do you know? I don't know anything. I'll see you guys on the next one.